Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this evening is taken from the Passion reading from Mark chapter 14. Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, 2 weeks ago, we looked at Judas's betraying eyes and recognized our own betrayals of the Lord. Last week, we saw the disciples' sleepy eyes in the Garden of Gethsemane and identified the times that we have fallen asleep as Christians. This week, we examine other ways sinful eyes can fail, as we examine the denying eyes of Peter and of the other apostles, and even of all of us. After the Last Supper in the upper room, Jesus and his disciples headed for the Mount of Olives. There, before Jesus' betrayal by Judas took place, he told the disciples that they would all fall away, in fulfillment of the prophecy that was recorded in the book of Zechariah, where it reads, "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Well, Peter thought that this would not include him. "Even though they all fall away, I will not," he boldly proclaimed to Jesus. But Jesus said to Peter, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Peter still emphatically disagreed. "If I must die with you, I will not deny you," was his response to Jesus' words. All the other disciples said basically the same thing. Well, what was in the eyes of the apostles as they looked at Jesus while he predicted their falling away from him? Perhaps they first had a look of horror at such an awful prospect. Maybe there was a look of disbelief as they tried to process what he was saying and began to figure out how they could dispute this prediction. The eyes of the apostles weren't really seeing Jesus and letting the truth of his words sink into their ears. They were blinded by their own strong delusions. They were lying to themselves as they were denying their Lord's words. They had on their minds the things of men rather than the things of God. All of those disciples, all of them, did deny Jesus by running away, in spite of their earlier protests to the contrary. And Peter verbally denied Jesus, and in dramatic fashion, during his cross-examination by a servant girl and some other bystanders who accused Peter of being with Jesus. "I don't know this man of whom you speak," was Peter's fearful reply. And not only once, but three times, he made this denial of his Lord. But as we saw last week, with Jesus alone staying awake while the others slept, it had to be this way. He had to be the last one standing, the one who would never deny the will of his Father, but humbly submitted to suffering and death for us and for our salvation. "I will strike the shepherd," says the Father. It's just like we heard a couple of weeks ago that the one who ultimately handed Jesus over wasn't Judas, but the Father himself. Or, as we heard last week, it was the Father's will that Jesus drink the cup of his wrath. And that takes us back again to Isaiah 53. "And the Father's will to crush the Messiah so that we could be counted righteous in the Father's sight. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows," it says in Isaiah. "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. I will strike the shepherd, said the Father. And Jesus was stricken with all that Isaiah wrote about. He was stricken with that for us. But that's not all. Jesus told his disciples that they would all fall away. But then he also said, but after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. His words about their falling away in denial did indeed prove true. But even better, so did his prediction of the resurrection and his appearing to the apostles. He even told them exactly where he would see them again, in Galilee. To those denying and doubting apostles, Jesus then entrusted the teaching and baptizing that later would go out to all nations and would turn deniers of God into confessors, into followers of Christ, those apostles then being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And what about Peter, who had fallen so quickly after being so sure of himself? What about Peter, who denied that he even knew Jesus? Well, first, I should point out that he actually seems to have been the only one of the disciples with the courage to even get close to Jesus' trial. So consider that before you are too quick to get all over Peter's case. And secondly, it's pretty easy for us to think that we would never do such a thing. But how many times have we stood by silently when someone spoke words contradicting our Lord's word? How many opportunities to confess the gospel to others have we passed up for fear of offending someone? And finally, when we can also recognize in Peter an example to follow in the way that he expressed his contrition over what he had done. Unlike Judas, who did have a change of heart, but tried to deal with his guilt on his own, Peter had true godly sorrow over his sin, which prepared him for the absolution that he would receive on Easter. When Jesus appeared to his apostles, showed them his hands and side, and spoke those wonderful forgiving words, "Peace be with you." And later on, in Galilee, where Jesus had told his disciples that he would again see them after he had been raised, there Peter got a kind of a special singling out that left no doubt that he was indeed being restored from being a denier and now was placed into the office of confessor of Christ. At the Sea of Tiberias, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee, Jesus showed up for a breakfast on the beach with some of the disciples, including Peter. Again, this was after the resurrection. There, Jesus gave Peter a threefold call to feed his sheep. Three times Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Which, in a way, when you think about it, repealed Peter's previous threefold denial, when three times he had denied that he knew Jesus. And then Jesus added the words, "Follow me." And now he says the same to us. "If anyone would come after me," Jesus says, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Friends, through our baptism into Christ, we have been given a gift greater than the whole world. We have lost our lives in this world for the sake of Christ and have found our life in Him and His kingdom, where we are saved, saved from sin, saved from death, saved from hell. And now we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Come, follow me, Jesus says. Come, for it is truly a joyful journey. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.